I'm Lauren Petrovic. This is the Responsible Luxury Podcast, bringing together thought leaders, culture changers, creatives, founders, and CEOs here to start conversations. Because simply uniting hearts and minds and collaborating on ideas has the power to create major impact and change the way we see the world. Here we go. This week, I welcome you to a very special episode of the Responsible Luxury Podcast. In this special two-part series, we dive into the live and unfiltered recordings from the first Responsible Luxury Roundtable and Dinner. If you missed part one, make sure to catch up before or after today's episode. Today, we take a deeper look into the evening, unveiling insights and inspiring stories that ignite our shared passion for a more sustainable world. Get ready to immerse yourself in the conversations that define the new era of luxury. The genesis of this extraordinary event was born out of an idea to unite industry leaders and culture changers and brought to life through collaboration with esteemed partners like IGI, SCS, and OnzaGems, with participation of key players from renowned brands and companies like Kering, LVMH, and Signet Jewelers, we curated an evening of elegance and inspiration during New York Climate Week. Our mission was to foster dialogue, forge connections, and illuminate the path towards a more conscious luxury landscape. The evening showcased the collective dedication of our guests to redefine industry norms and champion sustainable practices across jewelry, watches, fashion, education, and technology. This episode serves as a chronicle of evolving perspectives and vibrant inspirations reshaping the future of the luxury industry. As we journey into part two, prepare to hear from a diverse lineup of industry luminaries whose insights showcase the forward-thinking ethos propelling the luxury landscape forward. For those short on time, timestamps for each interview are included in the show notes below, allowing you to dive straight into the conversations that resonate most deeply with you. Please enjoy. I am here with Iris van der Wieken at the close to the end of this evening's Responsible Luxury Roundtable and Dinner, and I'm honored to be here with Iris. She is an amazing powerhouse in the industry, doing so many amazing initiatives with Watches and Jewelry Initiative of 2030 and beyond. And Iris, I first wanted to let yourself introduce yourself to the audience before we get started today.
Well, thank you very much. It's a very kind introduction. Let me humbly say, so my name is Iris. I've been working for almost more than two decades in the industry that I'm very passionate about in different roles. My background is actually law and international relations, but I've been in the on the ground in Africa, Thailand, Sri Lanka, all over the world, India, on understanding how important it is that business integrates responsible big business practices as part of their core business strategy. You know, when I hear CEOs talk about sustainability in their strategy, only one strategy should exist. It's a business strategy that is responsible and that is accountable. Because at the end of the day, you know, we are an industry of emotions. We are selling beautiful products, actually. We're talking about jewelry, which is timeless. It's actually across generations, which is insane, very sustainable as a philosophy. What it also means is that behind that story of beauty, creativity, craftsmanship, excellence, has to be a story of positive impact, inclusiveness, respect for human rights, respect for nature, etc. It's not an easy journey, but it's not an excuse to act. That's my philosophy.
Right now, we're in a unique position in our global politics. You are in an international relations, so you understand relationships between different local governments and whatnot. You know, we're talking tonight about the jewelry industry and the broader luxury industry. So I wanted to ask you from a broader perspective, what shift do you believe is necessary for the luxury industry to embrace sustainability and responsibility as core values rather than just trends to follow?
Well, first of all, you rightly talk about, you know, everybody's talking about this poly crisis, right? Which is true. We are in very challenging geopolitical times, economical times. We see that, I think, things that we took for granted are completely changing. We have a different kind of consumer. But at the end of the day, universally, there are some simple principles, no? Like dignity for all, respect, creativity, excellence, precision, craftsmanship. And these are core values that luxury represents. And for me, luxury is timeless. If you think, and let me be clear, I'm not here to promote one brand over the other. But, you know, if you think about Coco Chanel so many years ago, this inspiring woman who's changed the world, we have a lot of, I'm sure, other leaders in this world, new talent that is exploring new kinds of creativity that we have to allow. But it'll be, I think sustainability is becoming a core baseline, just like all the others. And I'm sure that we see that consumers will, of course, choose design. They will choose for craftsmanship. But they do want a real story, an authentic story, a genuine story. And actually, I'm confident because if I look at, you know, Living Now in Geneva, all these watch brands, they have this legacy, this historical background. But now I think it's more about the engagement, the genuine engagement together as a collective to talk about some of the more difficult issues and tackle them together in a reasonable and in a practical way. I think, you know, the days of greenwashing, blue washing, SDG washing and pink washing are gone.
And I completely agree with you. Thinking about the cross-collaboration efforts between both of, I mean, the industries, we talk about the watch sector, we talk about the luxury sector and the jewelry sector. In a world where consumers and buyers are craving this authenticity and purpose in their purchasing decisions, what ways do you believe jewelry can leverage its resources to be a catalyst for driving positive impact in economic, environmental, and social context?
Well, Lauren, jewelry is timeless, right? I look at you and you're wearing this gorgeous jewelry, and I look at the earrings and I actually look at the earrings that my grandmother has given me, who turned 99 when she passed away. I mean, we do not throw away jewelry, let's be clear. We pass it away, we give it or we buy it for ourselves, which is great. You know, women or men, it doesn't matter who, you know, want to empower and buy a piece of jewelry. So we're actually, we have this luxury position that we are already working with a timeless product. But it is a shared responsibility to show authenticity and purpose. And that cannot be with, you know, these kind of stories. It needs to have concrete actions. It needs to have systematic approaches. It needs to have assurance. It needs to have correct data. And it's not a perfect journey. Maybe one message to the whole industry is that when we talk about sustainability, it is very difficult. It is about human rights. It's about climate. It's about biodiversity and nature. It is about evolving regulations who are really difficult and challenging. So we collectively, in a respectful manner, have to implement it. And there will be, you know, we will do good and things will go wrong. But at the end of the day, we need to advance the industry together. And I think that's why we are here as a Watch and Jewelry 2030. We're humble. You know, we are here as probably one of the youngest organizations today in the world in the jewelry industry. But we are ambitious to work together, united, to activate and accelerate on the climate resilience agenda, on the nature and biodiversity agenda, and on the inclusiveness agenda with a focus on gender and human rights.
That's amazing. I feel like you are a woman very ahead of the times. And something I want to ask personally for the broader audience is that if you are speaking to the next generation, you know, the next generation of leaders in today's society and community, we see people growing up and they're wanting to form these very lucrative, successful careers and businesses. What advice would you have for aspiring entrepreneurs looking to create a successful business or career that only thrives financially, but also contributes positively to society and the planet?
Well, first of all, I would say be optimistic. Because it's actually a very difficult journey if you really want to do the integrated approach, which we know. But be bold, but also connect well, learn from others, be humble, but honestly believe in yourself. I think that's the beauty of this, of these new generations. A bit sad, I'm looking at the negative and the positive. I mean, they've been confronted probably with the worst climate crisis ever, right? They're confronted with a geopolitical crisis that, you know, I didn't experience till now, and I'm turning 54, Lauren. But I'm thinking about my son of 25 years old, who actually is living this moment of climate crisis, geopolitical crisis, inflation crisis. So we need positivism, and we need young people to believe in the future and do good. And so my call for action is, you know, believe in yourself, but also be humble and engage with others, cross generations to learn, to action, etc., but also help change this world across industries. Because, okay, the jewelry is one industry, but we have so many industries, and we're all buying from the same regions, you know. We only have this one planet, Lauren. If you look at it from the other side, we are so small, and we have oceans, we have nature, we need to protect it. And I think without wanting to be soft about it, we need to take care of it, and we can only do that united. So I think there's a unique opportunity for this next generation to be creative, to redesign, but also with respect for the legacy that has been built, because it doesn't mean that everything that we've built was wrong. Take lessons from it, take mentorship from it, but be very bold. You are the generation that can help us accelerate the 2030 agenda.
And one last question for you is, what's one lasting impact or mission you'd want to leave in this legacy of yours, in this life of yours? It could be non-career related. It could be something totally personal.
Lauren, I started working in this industry when I was 31 years old. This is 23 years ago. It was quite a journey for me as a woman to evolve in this quite male-dominated industry. My personal purpose is that I hope to leave a legacy behind where women thrive, you know, because we know when women thrive, humanity thrives. Women will go back and invest in their communities, in their children, in their family. And I think that's a duty for an industry that is so influenced by women. 90% of consumer behavior is influenced by women. So I would like to leave a legacy behind where women are empowered, where we see at all the major brands or all the mining companies, at the midstream, you know, women at the top making bold decisions and men with a different mindset.
And I couldn't leave that off on a better note. I know you have to go, so I want to respect your time. You have a big day and big rest of the week. Iris, thank you so much. And for listeners who wanted to find you and connect with you after the episode, where's the best place for them to find you?
Well, I would say, first of all, go to our website of the Watch and Journey Shift 2030, and you have the opportunity to reach out to us, but also reach out to me on LinkedIn. I really try humbly when people reach out to me that, you know, to connect. You know, we are here to be change agents, not just to talk, but to action. And I'm also open for collaborations that are going to have a very good impact on the whole industry. So I would say humbly reach out. And I think that's also a duty of the industry to connect and to reconnect, because no one has the answers. And we all have to just learn and continue to grow. And that will make our industry fit for purpose for the future.
Iris, thank you so much for your grace and your elegance tonight and all of your insights. And I look forward to sharing this and hopefully future episodes soon with the rest of the audience.
Lauren, you are a leader of purpose. I wish you well, and you can always count on me.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm here with Rosina Sami, founder of The Jewelry Addit, an amazing female powerhouse entrepreneur in the jewelry space. And I'm really excited to be here in person with her at the Responsible Luxury Roundtable and Dinner. We are just wrapping up a phenomenal evening. Rosina, how are you feeling after tonight?
Well, I'm just feeling energized. I'm excited and really motivated to continue on this journey towards making change in the industry. I think there's a lot of talk and you see a lot of, you know, paperwork exchange. It's nice to see it live and in action, you know. And I think the people who you were able to curate and you know, attended this evening really are so like-minded and determined in their goal to really make change happen. So it was nice to be in a room full of change makers and feel optimistic about the future.
100%. And that we're here tonight talking about responsible luxury and pressing topics of today. And I wanted to ask you, Rosina, think what fundamental shift do you believe is necessary for our industry to embrace sustainability and responsibility as core values rather than just a trend to follow?
Well, I think, you know, what needs to happen is that education has to happen on the customer and consumer front, because unfortunately, I think this industry has been very slow to change, and what is going to create change is demand from customers. So more questions, more interest in the transparency of where your jewelry comes from. And I think I'm seeing that, and certainly working with younger clientele and having a little bit of a finger on the pulse of the next generation of serious jewelry buyers, that's the feedback I'm getting. And I'm very happy to hear that. I just think, you know, my goal is to keep that, keep creating educational opportunities for clients to learn more about the industry so that they can really almost force the industry to change. And I think that's an important way that we're going to see things happen.
Yes. And hearing you talk about the buyer of the jewelry, and you have such a special curation of the jewelry experience at your company, and I had a couple questions I was coming up with before today's event that I thought of specifically for you. So I'm so happy that we have the opportunity to speak about it. So I wanted to ask you, Rosina, we talked before on our podcast about considering the storytelling behind jewelry. And before we get to that, as we think about the intersection of luxury and these responsible practices, how do you believe we can engage both industry leaders and consumers or buyers in a collaborative effort to redefine luxury in a way that prioritizes ethical sourcing and respect for artisan skills and traditions?
Well, there's a lot in that question, but at its heart, I think you have to think about what jewelry has always meant throughout history. And it's not about having something that is mass produced or something that you see on everyone in the room. It is about having something that's unique to you and personalized. And I think when you go out and find jewelry or when you create a piece, you want to create something that you have a connection with. And I think as retailers, that's what we are trying to find for our customers. And I think we have to get customers thinking about jewelry in that way again, and thinking less about a brand name necessarily and more about how does this jewelry piece make me feel, because there's a personal connection there.
Yes, 100%. And you know, thinking about culturally speaking, you better than anyone knows that how much jewelry holds a unique significance and has been used to convey, you always say, different stories and traditions and identities. How can we preserve and celebrate these cultural nuances while still promoting a more sustainable and inclusive narrative within the luxury jewelry market?
Yeah, I think the important thing is to tell those stories. So sometimes when jewelry is sold or is out there in the world, the stories of the artisans making it or the history behind those pieces that have been, you know, the skills that have been passed down through generations, that sometimes has been lost. And I think you especially see it in some of the bigger luxury brands. And I think what's exciting is to go back and tell those stories. And, you know, I often obviously speak a lot about Indian jewelry design and the need for this reawakening amongst Indian designers to again put ourselves front and center and come out from behind the curtain to in front of the curtain, where we can talk about this incredible history India has, for example, in the sourcing of stones and the cutting of stones, and also in the designs that we still see in play today. And I think that history of jewelry in India is a great example of how telling those stories actually helps form a connection and an understanding of the piece that people are buying. And so whether it's Indian artisans or Mexican artisans or Italian artisans, I think telling those stories are fascinating, and it's important. It's important to appreciating what it is that you're wearing.
Yes, and also being able to connect like civilizations and society and human craft into the next generation is also super important.
Because it's not only about the value or the size of the stone or something like that. It's about what this piece embodies. And part of what it is embodies is this labor of love that artisans and perhaps artisans from generations of jewelry designers are putting into these pieces.
a labor of love indeed that inspires and continues to inspire. Rosina, as we come to a close, looking ahead, what are some of your hopes and visions for the future of responsible luxury? And how do you believe we can inspire and empower this next generation of leaders to become more aligned with the principles of sustainability and social responsibility?
Well, it's very ambitious, but I am an optimist, as I said, and I am certainly trying to pioneer these sorts of conversations with the next generation. So at the Jewelry Edit, we have exciting news as we are launching a foundation this fall, which is really going to focus on making change. And part of that, as I've sort of mentioned earlier, is really tapping into that next generation, because I think that's where I see the most excitement around putting pressure on the industry to change. And I think my goal is to energize these sorts of dialogues, get people thinking about it, and hopefully implementing and executing, even in small steps, you know, enabling us to continue forward on a positive journey. And that's my goal. And it's exciting to be a part of it. Thank you to the Responsible Luxury Roundtable and this amazing dinner that you've put together tonight. I feel, like I said, I just think this is the beginning of a new wave and a new way of thinking that I think finally I'm seeing people are really buying into. It's not just a checkbox. It's not something that they can kind of just tick and say, you know, I'm here.
They're actually conference people are going to.
It's actually people saying, how can I make the change that we want to see happen?
Yes. And there's a boatload of other questions that I want to ask you, but to save time, we have to plan another episode soon because it's been months since our last one. But for our listeners today, where's the best place for them to find you and connect with you?
Sure. Well, the Jewelry Edit, edit.com, and obviously on Instagram at Jewelry Edit. There you can see all our news, learn about events. We obviously love to personalize a jewelry experience for people. And so also please reach out, whether it's through Instagram or through our website, to learn more about how we create very personalized experiences for our clients.
Amazing. Rosina, thank you so much for being here tonight. You are amazing, and I look forward to seeing you very soon. Thank you.
Congratulations. Congratulations to you. I loved being a part of it tonight.
Thank you. I'm with Monica Stevenson and Kat Weymouth, and we are just wrapping up tonight's fantastic Responsible Luxury Roundtable and dinner this evening. And I think we had an amazing group of incredible leaders within the space. And I wanted to just highlight some of the ideas that both Monica and Kat heard tonight. Monica, what was something that you learned or overheard that you took away from this evening?
So I thought it was really interesting that there were people from the jewelry space, but also not from the jewelry space. And I loved the interconnection and the conversations had with the person sitting immediately to my right is restoring oyster farms in New York City. So that's pretty amazing. But the idea that we could all come together and share ideas, and there were a couple of times where it was like, oh, I'd really love to know more about your model and what you're doing, because there might be something that actually is applicable to what we are working on. I just thought those interconnections and some very interesting and varied conversations that actually contributed to some things that I'm going to continue to kind of think about and ruminate on and figure out how we might be able to incorporate that into our actual business models as well.
On that same note, as we come to a closing, looking ahead, Monica, what are some of your hopes and visions for the future of responsible luxury? And how do you believe we can inspire and empower the next generation of leaders to become more aligned with principles of sustainability and social responsibility?
So I'm always about the people in the industry. So I know we're talking a lot about climate this week, but I'm always about how do we take care of the people at the source communities so that they can actually think about something other than like feeding their children. Then they can kind of open their mind up and actually pursue larger environmental goals. I think that navigating forward is going to take some incredibly creative solutions, and we're going to actually have to look beyond just our industry and look beyond what we're working on currently to see all of the possibilities.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to this special two-part series. I'm grateful beyond words for hosting this special dinner experience, and it's really a dream come true to curate these moments and witness the power of community building and collaboration that transcends industries. We had a very diverse guest at the table, including artisanal miners, designers, huge retailers, educators, executive leaders, and founders. The cross-collaboration of these remarkable individuals, both in and beyond the jewelry world, has shown us that collective action is the key to progress and success in any endeavor. Only together can we hold the potential to create impactful change that resonates far and wide, paving the way to a brighter tomorrow. Your ideas and enthusiasm are the driving force behind this community. Let's continue building a positive impact together as we journey towards more growth, learning, and connection. I believe the future is filled with endless opportunities, and I thank you for being a part of this journey. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to this podcast show wherever you get your podcasts and follow at Responsible Luxury Pod on Instagram. I look forward to our continued conversations, exploration, and experiences. Thank you once again, and I will talk with you soon.